Psalm 110, a psalm of David. David setting forth in this psalm so gloriously the kingdom, priesthood, conquest, and the death and resurrection, the victories of great David's greater son, the Christ. So Psalm 110, the Psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. And may God bless the reading of his holy word. And we see here this, perhaps the most messianic of the Psalms. Martin Luther, the great reformer, regarded this as the greatest of the Psalms. The Psalm that sets forth Christ most gloriously, the Lord, the King, the Conqueror, and the Priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It's notable that this is the most quoted Old Testament passage in the New Testament. Our Lord himself, Paul, Peter, all refer to this, and it is all about our Lord and Saviour. We see him in three aspects here. First of all, we see him as the King of kings and Lord of lords. Then we see him as the priest. And thirdly, we see him as the warrior, the King, the priest, and the warrior. And first of all, we see Christ as the King. The Lord said unto my Lord. If David calls him his Lord, how is he his son? The Lord Jesus says. Speaking, of course, of himself, that he is David's son indeed, and David's Lord, for he was before David. So that David can speak of him who was yet to be born into this world as his Lord then and there, because the Lord Jesus Christ, there never was a time when he was not. He is the eternal Son of God. And the Lord said unto my Lord, What, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Sit thou, he said, at my right hand. And what is the right hand? It is the place of power. It is where the most important one after the king sits, at the right hand of the king. And he sits exercising rule and reign and authority. The Lord Jesus, we are told, has sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. It is the place of power. It is also the place of victory. It is where the victor is seated once the warfare is completed. The Lord fights, the Lord overcomes, and the Lord has granted. The Lord God himself has granted to the Lord Jesus that name is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Lord shall send out the rod of thy strength out of Zion, the rod that speaks of power and authority, the scepter in the hand of the king who stretches forth his scepter over the land that he may possess it. So he is the Lord, the king, and the king who has a people. Verse 3, thy people. Oh yes, the king rules in the midst of his enemies. He is now ruling and reigning, the Lord Jesus says, unto his people. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And that is power in the sense of kingly power. The power that a king possesses. He rules in the midst of his enemies in this present evil age, yet he rules and reigns. And you notice this, he rules. He does not only reign. It is possible for a monarch, a ceremonial monarch, to reign but not to rule. So it is with the ceremonial monarchs of our day and age. But the Lord Jesus Christ rules. He exercises authority in the midst of his enemies. And we see that is laid out for us and spoken to us in the Psalms. It is spoken to us in Psalm 2. You have that image in Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And they do imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. He rules in the midst of his enemies, and he has a people. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. He does not have an army of pressed men, but an army who are volunteers, made willing. So it is not of the will of man, of course, it is the will of God that they are born from above, born again, and the will is transformed and changed. And they go from being enemies of God to being his people who are willing in the day of his power. It is his power that makes his people willing, for they have no power of their own. And they are aware of that fact. They are not like the people of the world or the worldly religionist who imagines that he has the power in himself and he may transform himself or anything else, his own will. But they know, they are brought to know by the Holy Spirit that they have no power of themselves. that thy people should be willing in the day of thy power. And oh, what a mercy it is that it is his power. Mm-hmm. My power. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So it is with the people of God. We feel our weakness, and therefore Christ triumphs through weak vessels, through vessels, the things which are not in this world. Thy power in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. He is a king eternal, unchanging. He is not bowed down by the years, though he is the ancient of days, though he is the eternal God, the everlasting Father, yet he has the dew of his youth. He is eternally strong, powerful, the king. But then secondly, he is the priest, the priest. And he is the priest in the only way that anyone can be a priest. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. No man taketh the priesthood unto himself. We see that in the Old Testament with King Uzziah, who was lifted up in his heart and took the censer to burn incense before the Lord, which thing was not permitted. And the priests struggled to withhold him, and as he was furious with them, the leprosy broke out on his forehead, and he ran out in disgrace, for he had tried to take upon himself the priesthood. No man takes this office unto himself, but he must be appointed to it, as Aaron was. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Oh, it is a marvellous thing that the Lord is not a man that he should repent. But the Lord does not change his mind. We are changeable creatures. And changeable because we are creatures. But also fallen creatures. But since we are creatures and we are not eternal, we are changeable. But the Lord does not change. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore are ye sons of Jacob not consumed, he says. He changes not. The Lord is not a man that he should repent. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. And his oath makes the priest. His oath appoints the priest. There was no oath, of course, to make the priest of the Old Covenant, the Aaronic priest. No oath was sworn to appoint him. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is an oath that is sworn of that, to make that priest. And so it is that in the Hebrews we read of the Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is need of necessity a change also of the law. And again he writes, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal and outward commandment in regard of the flesh. And the old priesthood was in that sense a carnal priesthood, for it descended from father to son according to the flesh. And a man might therefore come into the priesthood, and we know such did, as Annas and Caiaphas, wicked men. A man might come into the priesthood who was carnal in the fullest sense of the word. Mm-hmm. It was a carnal priesthood in that sense. But Christ is made priest not out of the law of a carnal commandment, but art the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. Those are strong words to speak of the priesthood of the Old Covenant, that it was weak and unprofitable. But the law is weak and unprofitable, not in itself, but through the flesh. The weakness and unprofitableness is in human nature as it is fallen in Adam. Fallen human nature is weak and unprofitable. For the law made nothing perfect. Again, strong words for the law of God, but it is true, is it not? For by the works of the law shall no one, no flesh, be justified. But the bringing in of a better hope did the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the which we draw nigh unto God, inasmuch not without an oath was he made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Does he not fulfill all our needs? Holy, holy. He is set apart. He is separate from sinners again. He is harmless. And oh, what a marvellous thing that is, that he is harmless. He came into the world for us sinners, and for his people he is harmless. For he comes not to do us harm, but to do us good. Harmless. Undefiled. Not one spot of sin. He is tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. He was made in every way like his brethren, yet without sin. Undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. If you look at the description in the law of the old tabernacle and therefore the old temple, the law created a sanctuary that spoke of heaven, of paradise. There were the cherubim, the celestial, the heavenly beings. There was the gold glittering all around. There was the golden lampstand, like a burning bush, symbolizing the presence of God. There was the Ark of the Covenant of God. And there all around, the glory. But it was but a picture, but an image, a model of the true sanctuary, which is where Christ is. And again, you look at the high priest in the law, and he wore garments that were made of purple and fine linen, of gold, of precious stones, of the same materials as the tabernacle itself. Why? Because he was the man who belonged there. But it was but a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the heavenly man, the man from heaven. And oh, he needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people. So this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son, who is consecrated for evermore. So Christ is the priest, the eternal priest, whose priesthood has neither beginning nor end. For he is like Melchizedek, who has no beginning nor end. That is to say, we are not told where he came from, we are not told where he went. He just is. Christ is from everlasting to everlasting, the eternal priest-king, because again, Melchizedek, he is the king of Salem, that is, king of peace. He is Melchizedek. He is the king of righteousness. That's what the name means, Melchizedek, the king of righteousness. And he is righteous for us. And this man is our peace. And so he is the warrior, thirdly, and very briefly. He is the warrior. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. There is a day of his wrath coming. And the revelation shows it, pictures it unto us, when the kings and the great ones and the little ones of the earth who know not the law, they shall flee unto the hills and the mountains and say, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb and him that sitteth on the throne. The day of his wrath, the great day of his wrath hath come, and who can stand? Well, now men are, as it were, mocking at the wrath of God. Now men have no time for the wrath of God, but all the day, the great day of his wrath is coming. The Lord has appointed a day when he shall judge the world through this man, the Lord at thy right hand. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself who sitteth in judgment. And it is God's power that carries out the judgment. And a solemn thing it is, that judgment of God. But that righteousness of God shall on that day be revealed. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. That is to say, he shall cast those who are spiritually dead into everlasting hell. He shall fill hell with them for whom it is prepared. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. And we see there that he hath drunk indeed of the wrath of God himself on the cross of Calvary. There he drank that cup of the wrath of God. His suffering. And that is why his people never experience the wrath of God themselves. For the whole of wrath divine has been borne by our Saviour. And there he has won the great victory. He has overcome the devil himself. He has overcome the world. Be of good cheer, he says to his people, for I have overcome the world. He has overcome the devil. He has overcome our sins. He has conquered every foe of his people. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. He was delivered up for our offences, raised again for our justification. What does this priest-king say of himself? How does he speak of himself unto his beloved apostle, whom he gave that revelation to upon Patmos? Oh, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, he says, I saw one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. That is the robes of a priest. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace. and his voice was the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was the sun, shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, I held his feet as dead. Oh, would not any before such an awesome vision. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. What a marvellous thing that all this awesome king, this priest king enthroned in the heaven, this heavenly priest king with all the glory of his divinity shining forth from his through his sacred humanity. This awesome one was so terrified, he took the sight of him, but he said, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Oh, what a marvel it is that this one is for us, our priest king, who is enthroned in the heavens and is coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead. That his kingdom shall have no end. And so we, who are his, we who are sinners, yet sinners saved by grace, who are yet upon the earth, we know that this great priest king is for us, and that he offers prayer, and that he may ever liveth to make intercession. And so, this Lord, this priest king, this warrior, this is our Lord Jesus Christ. And with this vision we are left of the great king who hath come and is coming again. And may God grant that we may indeed know his blessing and his help, and may we trust entirely to his intercession, for he is our Lord and our God.